Tonight we are going to be in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, we're going to try to focus in on verses 18 through 23. Romans 1, 18 through 23. And try to say some things about the problem of unthankfulness. The problem of unthankfulness. Paul writes, beginning in verse number 18 of chapter number 1, in his letter to the church at Rome, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, we pray that You would help us tonight to understand it, and to rightly divide it, and to preach it in all truth. Pray, God, You would guard us in that. You would set up boundaries for us that we would not stray from what is true and what is revealed in Your Word. God, we pray that You would speak to us through it, that we would hear Your voice speaking to our hearts through Your Word. God, that we would see You great and high and lifted up. And God, that You would instruct us tonight about unthankfulness. And we'll be grateful and thankful for what You'll do for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you didn't know, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. History books tell us that Congress established Thanksgiving on September the 28th, 1789, just before leaving for their recess. And then down through the years, various presidents and congresses have moved dates around to where we have it on the last Thursday of November. The reality is Congress didn't establish Thanksgiving. God has established Thanksgiving. And God has not established a day of celebration, but He has established a life lived in an attitude of gratitude. You see, Congress can legislate a day of Thanksgiving, but they cannot legislate the act of Thanksgiving. So tonight, I want to deal with Thanksgiving, or maybe it's more proper to say, I want to deal with unthankfulness, because I think that's what Paul deals with here in these verses, especially in verse number 21 of this first chapter of Romans. Now, Romans begins with Paul setting forth the truth that the entirety of the human race is indicted. Whether Jew or Gentile, all of mankind is guilty before God. All are sinners, and all need a Savior. So no one, regardless of where they are or what their circumstances may be, no one has any excuse before God. No one. And in verse 18, Paul tells us here that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness, and that's all of us. And part of the problem here, part of the implication of this wrath being revealed, according to Paul, is a failure for us to give thanks to God. So that's what I want to talk about tonight as we walk through these verses and just try to pull some truths out here that I trust will help us be grateful and thankful, not just tomorrow, but every day that we live. Number one, unthankfulness, or those who are unthankful, as Paul puts it here, those who do not thank God, are in reality suppressing the truth. So unthankfulness is really a suppression of truth. Now the problem with humanity is not that truth has not been revealed. Sometimes I think we think that people just don't know that there is a God and they need to be told that there is a God. But according to Paul here, the problem is not that truth has not been revealed. The problem is not that people don't know there is a God. The problem is that they do know and they take what has been revealed and they hold it or suppress it or restrain it. So Paul here says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So they bury the truth, and they bury it under the heap of their wickedness and unrighteousness. Now, let me mention two things that are suppressed by all of humanity. Number one, there is a suppression of the revelation of God. Now, Paul says that what God wants us to know about God is made plain to us. Is that not what he says? Now, how is God made plain to everyone? Well, Paul here says that God himself shows them. Go back and read it with me if you will. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So God is shown to all men by God himself. And how does God do that? Well, Paul tells us here, he does that through the work of creation, or what we would call general revelation. Also, I would remind you that it's personal revelation. Every man, woman, all humanity has God manifest to them through creation. And everyone, whether they admit it or not, know two things. They know there is a God and he is a powerful God, and they know that there is a God and he is a gracious God. Now, he is powerful, isn't he? If he is God, he is powerful. So Paul here says that these invisible things from creation of the world are clearly seen. They're not obscure. They're clearly seen. And then also it says they are understood by the things that are made, the creation, even his eternal power. So creation tells us that this creation itself has not just evolved, it has not just developed, but that there had to be a creator, there had to be a designer of all of these things. And how powerful is a God that can create all things? So all men know that, Paul says. whether they would care to admit it or would care to own up to it or not. Secondly, Paul here says that they will know that God is part of a Godhead, or they will know the nature of God. And certainly I would manifest the truth here that if we know the mighty power of God, then we know that God is a God of grace. Because instead of sending us to hell at this very instant, which He has every right to do, God takes care of all of us, doesn't He? In a very common and general way, most people have food to eat, clothes to wear, and places to live, whether they worship Him or not. He is a graceful God. And I would admit tonight, and I would agree, that general revelation of creation is not enough for anyone to put all the pieces together about God. It's not enough for a person to know enough about God to come to God. That's where there has to be a specific or a pointed revelation, which is what you're holding tonight, the Word of God. But Paul here says that creation, while maybe not enough to put all the pieces together about God, it is enough to render everyone without excuse. Paul says, God has manifest Himself to all men through creation, and all men are without excuse. Now understand this. Without instruction, without teaching about God, Paul says they know He exists. They know that He is powerful and they know He is graceful. Without any Bible, without any churches, without any preachers, they are without excuse. Because all creation is an outstretched finger pointing to God. Now, I want you to understand something here. Not only does Paul say here that God has revealed Himself to them through creation, but He has enabled them to understand what He revealed. They understand that there's a God. They understand that there's a powerful God. And while this truth is known and understood, he says it is suppressed in their wickedness. The best example I can give you on this idea of suppression is when a prosecuting attorney has some sort of evidence that may not be real good for his side of the case. It's truth, but he holds it back. He doesn't present this particular bit of evidence because it will hurt his case. So instead of presenting the evidence, he suppresses it. Now, you understand it's against the law to suppress truth in a trial, but he doesn't want to let it out because he doesn't want it to be out. His suppressing the truth, though, does not change the truth. His suppressing the truth does not change the fact that he knows and understands the truth. The idea here is that because of our wickedness, we prefer sin to that which God reveals of Himself. God or sin, and every single time we choose sin and suppress the truth. We know the truth. We don't want the truth. Humanity knows the truth, but humanity doesn't want the truth. And no one will stand before God and claim that they did not know there was a God. No one. It is not that we don't know the truth, it's that we reject the truth. So there is the suppression of the revelation of God. Hang in there, I'm going somewhere. And then there is the suppression of the resources of God. Because everything good comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So everything good comes from God, including the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, the water that we drink, the clothes that we wear, the vehicle that we drive, the place in which we live, our children, our grandchildren, our husbands, our wives, everything good comes from God. And when we rightly know that and understand that and don't suppress that truth, the response to that is thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God. Now, everyone knows that everything comes from God because they know that there is a God. Yet they suppress this truth. If they don't suppress this truth, then they would have to submit to this God. And what lost humanity does not want is to be ruled by someone other than themselves. They know that God exists, and they know that He is all powerful. They know that God in heaven has made earth and sea and everything in them. But they reject this truth because they don't want to bow a knee to Him. They don't want to submit to Him. And I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that humanity is not thankful, because they are. We're thankful for our jobs. Do this. Thankful for our spouses. Thankful for our family. Thankful for our food. Thankful for a million other things. But humanity is not thankful to God for them. And the idea of what Paul says here in the original is that lost humanity has not only failed to glorify Him as God, but neither were they thankful to Him. Not that they weren't just thankful, they weren't thankful to God. They did not see and acknowledge that all things come from God. And it's wrong for us to be thankful for this and thankful for that and not be thankful to God for it. Amen? Because there is a big difference between being thankful for something and being thankful to God for that something. And the implications there are huge. So Paul begins here by reminding us that out of this suppression of truth, out of this revelation of God, and this revelation of all things come from God, out of humanity's suppression of that comes unthankfulness. Amen? Unthankfulness is a suppression of truth. Number two, unthankfulness is not only a suppression of truth, but unthankfulness is really the product of a spiritless life. What Paul is describing here in humanity that is revealed God, yet they suppress the truth of God, what he's really describing here is a spiritually dead person. One who does not have the Spirit of God living inside of them. It's one who has not been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's one who is still dead in their trespasses and sins. And unthankfulness, ingratitude, is a characteristic of a spiritually dead person. Because a spiritually enlivened person is thankful to God and glorifies God. So, the Spirit of God causes us who have been regenerated by the power of the Spirit to adore God. Because he says here, they knew the truth, it was revealed to them, they understood it, but they held it or suppressed it. That's what lost humanity does. That's what spiritually dead people do. And they don't glorify God, they failed to glorify God, and they failed to be thankful to God. So everyone does this, everyone is unthankful, everyone is self-centered until the Spirit breathes life into them. Let me ask you a question. What can a spiritually dead person do spiritually? Well, he can do the same thing a physically dead man can do physically. Think about that a minute. What can a spiritually dead man do? He can do the same thing that a physically dead man can do physically. Nothing. So that's what Paul says. A dead man doesn't glorify him as God. A dead man doesn't thank him for the things of his life. Why? He's dead. So Paul tells us what they don't do. They don't glorify him as God. They don't honor him as God. They don't praise him as God. Their opinion of him is not one of one who merits their worship. No one sees God as king until the Spirit quickens them with life. No one honors God. No one worships God. No one seeks after God until they are enabled to do so by the Holy Spirit. It is possible to have a Thanksgiving day and God never be honored, glorified, or worshiped. And we call it Thanksgiving. We say we're thankful, but is God honored in your heart? Is God worshiped in your heart? Is God glorified in your heart? And we can sit around the turkey and the ham and all the trimmings and never adore God. But a spiritually enlivened person adores God. And a spiritually dead person won't. The Spirit causes us to adore God. The Spirit causes us to, secondly, acknowledge God. Those who are reborn by the Spirit above are not only thankful, but they are thankful to God. They acknowledge that all good things come from God. They acknowledge that He is the source of all good things. They are aware and they acknowledge God, and this is a basic component of the reality of a relationship with God. You acknowledge who He is and His hand of mercy. Now, this means, of course, not merely that God exists, but also everything that we see and everything that we have has been brought to us by Him and brought into being by Him. He is the creator of everything. So if we have life tomorrow morning, it is from God. If we have health tomorrow, it's from God. The food we eat tomorrow, I don't know where you got it, it's from God. The clothes you wear, the friends you have, everything good is from God. And if we fail to be grateful for this, it's because we really don't acknowledge Him or we're rejecting a proper relationship to Him. And someone might say, well, don't we experience bad things? Somebody told me a few weeks ago that they made this statement. They said, you know, so-and-so is going through such a hard time, they don't deserve that. And I thought, why not? What we deserve is hell. What we deserve is hell. If we don't have hell tonight, we all ought to be thankful. We haven't got what we deserve. The point I'm trying to make here is that thankfulness, true, genuine thankfulness to God, is a mark of those who truly know God. Even though we sometimes forget to be faithful, forget to be thankful, sometimes we're ungrateful. But the mark of those who don't know Christ is that they are never thankful truly. They repress and they suppress the truth about Him. So that they think they have worked for this, they have bought this, they have earned this, they have done this. No, they haven't. Everything has been given to us by God. And those who truly know Him understand that truth. Let me say thirdly here, not only is unthankfulness a suppression of the truth and the product of a spiritless life, but unthankfulness is a spiraling downward. Unthankfulness is a symptom of suppression of truth, but it also is an indicator of something far more worse than that. Unthankfulness today will lead to many problems tomorrow. Look what he says. Paul says, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man and birds and four-footed creatures. See, things get worse. An unthankful heart, a heart that doesn't glorify God and is unthankful to God, gets worse. So we see here that unthankfulness leads to empty heads. Vain imaginations. Because they don't glorify Him, and because they are not thankful to Him, they become vain in their imaginations. What does that mean? That means that their thoughts are consumed with worthless things. In other words, this is what it means. Their thoughts become less about God and more about things that don't matter, that are worthless. And let me help you with that. Every thought not about God is worthless. Their thoughts become foolish. More and more, and day by day, God begins to leave their thoughts altogether until their thoughts are only on themselves, only on sports, only on politics, and a million other worthless things. They think about everything but God. That's where it winds up. If we don't glorify God today, and we don't thank God today, tomorrow we'll be less likely to glorify Him. And less likely to thank Him. And each day thereafter will be less likely. Because our minds get filled with vain things. But not only empty heads, but darkened hearts. Paul says that their foolish hearts were darkened. The heart, biblically, is a seat of physical and emotional and mental life. And Paul says it gets darkened. The idea is morally darkened, are sinful. Eventually, what happens in humanity, eventually God is absent from all aspects of life. Eventually, there's no thought of God. Eventually, there's no movement toward God. Eventually, nothing will stir their hearts to desire or feel anything for God. Their heart gets calloused and hard. That is where unthankfulness will lead you. That is where it has led our country. Say amen. We have failed to glorify God. We have failed to thank God. And each passing day and each passing decade, each generation is a little bit farther away from God than the previous generation, less in their thoughts. So now, nothing can convince them of the truth. They're not moved toward God at all. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their own hearts. An unthankful heart is a heart that's being hardened. Amen? Notice they claim to be wise. They claim to be wise. They claim to be wise, and yet Paul says they're what? They're fools. Because thankfulness is not in your words. Thankfulness is in your heart. God doesn't hear the words coming out of your mouth. He hears what's in your heart. Thankfulness is not toward the gifts. Thankfulness is toward the giver. Here's what happens, right? He says, they'll have the truth revealed to them. They'll suppress the truth. Out of that suppression will come their inability to glorify Him as God and thank Him for all that He has given. And then that will just lead to vain imaginations and darkened hearts. And then they will exchange God, the giver, and worship the gifts. I wonder how much gift worshiping will be done tomorrow. Families getting together, people getting together around a good meal, and we'll be thankful for the food. We'll be thankful for our wives and our husbands and our children and all the family coming together. We'll be thankful for that. Yet will we even mention God's name? Will we even be thankful to God? Because, friend, being thankful for the food without being thankful to God for the food is making food an idol. Being thankful for our spouses and our children and our grandchildren and all of our family without being thankful to God for them is idolatry. Worship the giver. Glorify the giver. Be thankful to the giver, not for the gifts. Be thankful to Him for them. Be thankful that these things will glorify Him. We live in a society where we are tempted on every front to be thankful for gifts. Because tomorrow it's going to be hard. Because you're going to have lost family members maybe around. You're going to have people that don't want to hear you talking about God. And they won't have any problem about you being thankful for them and thankful for this and thankful for that. But they will have a problem if you're thankful to God. And if you're thankful for Christ. But we as God's Spirit indwelt children, if we're truly indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we must be thankful to the giver from which all good things come. So your prayer tomorrow over your dinner table needs to be adjusted just a little bit. God, we thank You for this food. We thank You for this time of getting together. We thank You that You've allowed this to happen. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for all these things. We thank You for Your Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You for God, You are the source of all things. Because the lost world won't be celebrating Thanksgiving like that. But God's people should. Amen? Let me read what's in the bulletin tonight and I'll be done. It's a Thanksgiving prayer and praise, but I thought it was so good. Maybe you can use it tomorrow. It's a prayer and praise from way back when, Puritan time, when they were really focused on God. It goes like this: Oh my God, You fairest, greatest, first of all objects, my heart admires, adores, loves You. For my little vessel is as full as it can be. And I would pour out all of that fullness before You in ceaseless flow. When I think upon and converse with You, 10,000 delightful thoughts spring up. 10,000 sources of pleasure are unsealed. 10,000 refreshing joys spread over my heart, crowding into every moment of happiness. I bless You for the soul You have created, for adorning it, for sanctifying it. though it is fixed in human soil, for the body you have given me, for preserving its strength and vigor, for providing senses to enjoy delights, for the ease and freedom of limbs, for hands, eyes, ears that do your bidding, for your royal bounty providing my daily support, for a full table and overflowing cup, for appetite, taste, sweetness, for social joys and relatives and friends, for ability to serve others, for a heart that feels sorrows and necessities, for a mind to care for my fellow men, for opportunities of spreading happiness around, for loved ones in the joys of heaven, for my own expectation of seeing you clearly. I love you above the powers of language to express. For what you are to your creatures, increase my love, O my God, through time and eternity. And I say, amen. Amen. May we be thankful to God. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that our hearts are filled with gratitude every day, every moment, every second, for who you are and what you have done for us, especially in a redemptive way. We thank you for Christ, the sacrifice of him on the cross for our sins. We thank you for salvation, a home in heaven, eternity with you. Thankful that the truth is our names are written down in heaven and cannot be blotted out. We're grateful for that. We're thankful for that. And we know that that comes from you. And we thank you for it. And you have been so good to us. You have provided so much more than our mere needs. You have blessed us with friends and with family and with provisions. And we don't take those for granted, Lord. And we don't want to get caught up with just merely being thankful for the gifts. We want to be thankful to the giver. For all of it has come from you. So may that be true tomorrow, and may that be true every day. And we'll thank you and praise you for allowing us to do that. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.